This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are jumping our way through the Mushroom Kingdom yet again, but this time, there are numbers involved. From 1996, we are playing the Nintendo and Square collaboration Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who knows about timed hits. It's Todd Brisket.
Oh, what a coincidence. There's a prince here with the same name as me.
And our other co-hosts, the only thing he likes more than RPGs is everything, is Huell Hauser.
It looks like Mario is getting ready for another adventure. He doesn't need my help this time. I'm just going to hang out behind the scenes here in the manual and give you some pointers.
Oh, is that Luigi?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's favorite manual guide.
Oh, everyone's favorite poor, sweet, neglected baby boy. Today, we're joined by a special guest. When I was asking for guests a couple months ago, our mutual friend Mary McGonigal volunteered him, and he told me that one of his favorite games as a sweet baby boy was Super Mario RPG. Welcome to the show, a colleague of Dr. Mario, it's Dr. Tony.
Hey everybody, my name's Tony. I am less good of a doctor than Dr. Mario, and I'm a big fan of RPGs, unlike Quell over here.
Oh, yes, exactly.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you liked the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We need to buy the complete filmography of Kirk Cameron. Today's game is Super Mario RPG from 1996. Development on this one started in 1994, with the lore being that Square wanted to create an RPG that appealed more to young girls, and Nintendo wanted Mario in an RPG. Miyamoto personally oversaw aspects of the development, while Square provided most of the programming and gameplay muscle. The resulting game was Super Mario RPG, released in the U.S. in May 1996. It was a critical and commercial success, shipping about 1.47 million units in Japan and a smaller amount in the States. I couldn't find an exact figure, but it's believed to be, only a couple hundred thousand.
I have at least one of them.
Oh.
Same here.
Oh, look at you guys. I do
celebrities.
Not. Yeah, this is just a rental for me back in the day. The game is a mixture of turn-based RPG mechanics with time button presses to increase damage and light action adventure parts between battles. As Mario, you band together with Princess Toadstool, Bowser, and two new characters, Mallow and Gene, to recover the kingdom from Smithy, a giant sword interrupting the Star Road. Tony, you nominated this game because it was one of your favorites growing up, I believe. So why don't you start the discussion off for us here?
All right, so I guess I'd start with, why I thought it was one of my favorites growing up. I have lots of fond memories. So as we talked about earlier, I was a big fan of RPGs, and like any young child growing up, Super Mario was a big part of my gaming experience. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I like things that appeal to young girls back when I was six, so... So when I first started playing the game, back then I didn't realize everything that the game actually had to offer. I just thought, there are lots of funny animations with characters that I recognized, some I didn't. And as any good Asian, I like seeing numbers continually go up throughout a game. So
nice.
So I guess the first, thing we could talk about is, like, I guess everyone played through at least a little bit of the game. I just... was wondering if people had some sense of nostalgia from Mario coming back, to our lives.
I had forgotten how kind of how bright and colorful this game was. Like, this is a full-on 16-bit era game, so everything was kind of cheery. There's a surprising amount of humor in this game. Or at least tries at humor. Like, a lot of puns in this.
No, this is the perfect amount of humor for a 13-year-old Todd when I played it.
Mm-hmm. It's possibly the funniest game of all time. I mean, that's the impression that I got.
Yeah.
I can't didn't Huel, I think you're the only one who has not played this one before, if I'm not mistaken.
No. No, I mean, it's fine. It's like standard RPG stuff. It's just got Mario in it. Those are my impressions. I mean, you go to the thing, you pick the fight, you hit the enemy, and you get some points. And then you do that 600 more times, and then I guess you beat it.
It's a thinking man's Mario.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still jump on stuff. There's a special attack where you jump on stuff, much like Mario does in other games.
Yes.
There's a little
this is
frog marshmallow man.
This is what I call the sushi conundrum, which is
the famous theory. Yes,
the famous theory that I created. Right. It's that. I have some friends, and they'll say, "Oh, I love eating fish. It's delicious. Oh, I love rice. It's delicious." But then you mix it, you put them together, put them in a little roll. They're like, "Oh, that's sick. I'm not eating that." Although you don't even like the RPG.
I don't like the fish part. Yeah. Okay. I love rice. Not a big fan of fish.
You don't like the fish.
In this scenario.
But if there were ever a gateway RPG, I think this would be it for you.
Mm-hmm. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just a regular RPG. It's got like it checks all the RPG boxes.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't hate it. I did like it. I enjoyed my time playing it. Mm-hmm. I got a star.
Oh, you
that's put, pretty far.
Yeah, you put more time into this week than I did then.
Yeah, I quit in the sewers because it was like 10 minutes before we had to start. So that's where I left off.
Well, the sewers is also the game does kind of spike in difficulty at various points, and I remember the sewers being a little tougher.
Yeah, that was the first spike. That was the first time you ran. Yeah,
It looked annoying. It looked like it'd be like a maze kind of thing, and I was like, well,
yeah,
I probably would have stopped here anyway.
Like all good sewer levels, so
right.
Yeah, sewer levels. Oh, those should go on our list along with goddamn bats and ice levels are also always annoying.
Oh, for sure.
But
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like it, but I'm just not an RPG guy in general. So it is a good point that Mario would be the thing, one of the things that got me into it, and it was fine. It kept me interested.
You liked it. You didn't love it.
No. I like that Toad was always in trouble, and we had to keep rescuing him because he is the worst in everything. So that was a nice touch.
Well,
yeah, he's pretty useless, isn't he? Much any Mario game, he's pretty useless.
Any Mario. It's very bad.
What about in Mario Kart? He's like one of the best characters.
He's one of the worst.
Are you?
What?
Are you
what
high?
Is happening?
What? On the N64?
Especially on the N64.
Tony, don't listen.
I think Tony enjoys losing.
Oh,
Did you just constantly... Did you always play it on mute? Is that the problem?
Oh, what do you mean? The Wahoo is the best part of the entire game.
Tony, don't listen to these. Don't listen to these heathens. These disgusting people.
Toad.
So, no, I don't know. This I like this RPG, but replaying it, I also realized it's a little clunky and slow in certain places. And
yeah,
I don't know it. Yeah. I definitely like some of the other turn-based classic RPGs a little bit better than this one.
Yeah, this is no Chrono Trigger or Six, as I call it.
Is that what you call it?
FF6.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
F6. I mean, I remember hearing about this as like some great RPG, but I might have been thinking of Paper Mario. Is that better than this?
Couldn't tell you.
Most people seem to think this one's better, but Paper Mario, I believe, sold a lot more.
Okay.
You know, Paper Mario is.
I don't want to skip ahead.
You know, it's the.
And actually, Huel, it's pronounced Popper Mario.
Okay, I got the second part right. Okay.
But I feel like we should probably, I don't know, discuss the plot of this game because it is a deep, deep story-driven game.
One of the deepest.
It is deep. It is so deep and story-driven. Compelling.
Yes. Todd, maybe you might want to, since you own this one as a sweet baby boy, you want to sum up exactly what's going on in this game?
Sure. The game starts with the classic Mario scenario where Mario's rescuing the princess from Bowser. The prologue, yeah. And as he's saving the princess Peach from Bowser, a huge sword falls from the sky and hits Bowser's castle.
It penetrates.
It penetrates the castle. Yeah, deeply.
Deep inside.
Apparently it's a bad guy, and you got to beat that bad guy. And to beat him, you have to collect 7 stars to get to him.
It's all very straightforward.
Yep.
Yeah.
The standard Mario plot, really.
Mm-hmm. And, might I add, it's a talking sword.
That's true.
I much appreciated that part.
Yes. Although, as a Cracked pointed this out in one of their articles, at one point Princess Toadstool joins your party, along with Bowser, too. Like, you band together.
He's an anti-hero.
Yeah. Mm. Except Princess Toadstool is probably like the most powerful character in this game, which kind of begs the question, like, why the hell do you always need to rescue her in every other game? Like, it's all just one big game for her.
She likes it. It's part of her fantasy.
Yeah, right. She likes being captured by Bowser.
Mm. Tie me up.
Yeah. She gets a weird kick out of it. Also, Bowser is probably, he might be the worst character in this game. Like, in terms of power.
Yeah, well, really? I'd argue Geno is probably pretty bad.
Geno's at least fast.
Yeah.
Isn't Marshmallow Man the worst?
No, Marshmallow's good. He's got some good magic.
I guess so. From the time I was using him, he seemed awful.
If I remember correctly, Mallow, you definitely don't use him as much once you get Princess. Once you get Toadstool, because she is so much better at healing that you don't need him and his crappy HP rain spell or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally hit point rain.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the second name they gave that spell.
Oh.
The first one was Golden Shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that can't be true, right?
The healthy shower, I think they called it.
Well, that was Todd plays a lot of these games in the original Japanese. That was probably what it was in Japan. And
he translates them by hand.
Yes.
Oh.
But I don't know. There's a lot of cool little nooks and crannies in this game.
That's a good part about it. All the little secrets in there. The nooks and crannies all over this thing.
Yep. There's a cameo from Link, isn't there?
Cameo from Link. There's a cameo from Seamus from Metroid series. And there's a cameo from a Final Fantasy-esque boss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who is that?
Named Kulex.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Although, is he actually from a Final Fantasy game or something?
No, he's just made up, but the style of it is a Final Fantasy boss.
Oh, okay. Because, like, I don't know, I remember that was a big thing. Like, Nintendo Power, I think, claimed he was from a Final Fantasy game, and then when I actually played this game, like, I was like, I don't remember him from any Final Fantasy. So, you know.
Maybe it was a unused boss from another game.
Yeah, could be.
Square just recycled him.
I don't know. Square normally makes up all of their enemies for every single new game. So that would just be lazy of them to reuse a reskinned enemy.
Yeah. And one of the coolest things about that Kulex fight, it's a secret boss. It's not part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. But when you fight him, it plays the Final Fantasy II fight music, I believe.
Yes.
Or Final Fantasy IV.
Yes.
How'd they get the rights to that?
I think they just ripped it off.
Yeah.
Wow. They ripped the MP3. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
He could be the very first of Square's experimentation, though, with like these god-awful secret bosses that have like a million hit points and are radically tougher than even the end boss in the game.
Yeah.
I think it's him and I think Final Fantasy V has one of those too. Where there's some secret side boss that's harder than anything else in the entire game. And then obviously once they get to Final Fantasy VII, it's like in all of their games after that point.
Yeah.
So,
well, bonus content shouldn't be just handed to you.
You gotta work for
it's
it.
Post game.
Right.
Oh god.
It's a little bonus.
I the worst of those to me is still like Final Fantasy IX, if you beat that game in under like 4 hours, like you get like the most powerful sword in the game, which you do not need if you can beat the game in 4 hours. So like why bother with this? They should give you the sword if you don't beat the game in like 85 hours or something.
A sympathy sword?
Yeah, exactly. So anyways,
true.
So Tony, as you were replaying this game, did anything stick out to you? Like how far did you play into it for this week?
So I got into right when you get Bowser. So I got decently through it.
Yeah, he's the fourth.
I was speeding up a lot on ZNES, but obviously, you know. I think the things that stuck out to me that I, you know, didn't appreciate or at least forgot to appreciate was how funny some of the acting scenes were for Mario. Because obviously, like, Mario doesn't talk in the game.
Yes.
So the characters ask him to explain what happens. And then he, like, transforms into all these different characters and then, like, acts out a fight like that.
Yes.
I was sitting there laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I was completely confused. Because he changes into Bowser. And I'm like, did Bowser just appear? Like, do I have to fight him? I realize he's just explaining the story so far. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And they even they hang a lampshade on the fact that Mario doesn't talk in the game. Mm-hmm. Like I think in the first scene with him and Toad, Toad goes, "Oh Mario, you're so quiet for once." And then he doesn't talk the rest of the game. So
yeah. And then I think the second. Well, another thing that quickly, you know, I discovered was that apparently Mallow thinks he's a frog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering.
Yeah, he's raised by Frog Fuchsius.
I always thought he was a marshmallow when I was younger, so I was really shocked at that.
And then, raised by a herd of friendly frogs.
Yeah. And then the plot twist for him, you know, when you finally meet Frog Fuchsius, I don't know if you guys still remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that he was not a tadpole. It like broke his heart. He like cried and then it like rained. It was a real sad scene in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those, you know, like I said, I was really surprised with how much I enjoyed like the comedic elements. I attempted to go for the super jump record. I don't know if you guys did that when you were younger. I know I failed miserably.
But, what is that?
There's a vendor in the game where one of the later powers you get is super jump, and you can just keep jumping as long as you time it correctly. And I think if you go, I think it's if it's over 50 or 100, you get like items.
Yeah. So I think I looked it up like a couple days ago, but I don't remember anymore. I think it was like if you get 30, you get some like. You know, accessory, and then if you get 100 in a row, you get this like accessory that breaks the game. I think I only got to like 15 as a kid, and obviously now I just like definitely couldn't do it without save states or anything. So,
well, even with save states, it would be tough because it's one of those timing things. I think you got to do it roughly once every second, once every 2 seconds, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so it's kind of tough to use save states to abuse it.
Well, you could just save state in between every successful jump, right?
Yeah, but I feel like the timing on that is still...
Makes it even harder.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, you can also save state your way into a fake. Like, you can save state yourself into a dead end on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That'd
be tragic.
And I also think... I think there's a cap on the damage you can do with that. Like, I don't think you can keep... Like, even if you do, like, 60 jumps, I don't think you can do, like, 20,000 damage. but
I feel like I'm willing to bet that it's 9999, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I think for that you have to do like 900 jumps in a row or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not positive on that though.
Yeah.
But Brisket, what was your super jumping record? Do you know?
Yeah, I saw that you could do that. I read that online somewhere, and I think my record is about 8.
Whoa.
Just give up and move on, man.
It's pretty good.
I think I got the 50, but not the 100. But I can't remember for sure. I do know I was able to beat this game as a kid, but I found it surprisingly tough at certain points. Like it's not like Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, which is another RPG kind of aimed at beginners. That's pretty easy throughout.
That's one that I own as well.
Oh, look at rich Uncle Pennybags over here.
Yeah, Rich, I got it for 99 cents at a Funko Land.
Oh, son of a bitch. It's probably not worth 99 cents anymore.
True.
Let me take a quick look. Oh, you have times its value by 12. 12.50.
Ooh.
Well, do you have the box and manual for it too?
No.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Oh.
That ups it to 40 bucks. Yep. Super Mario RPG, by the way. Now you guys are sitting on some money there. It is $50.
Nice.
For the loose cart. And if you have the box and manual, 140 bucks.
It's quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure my dad gave those games away to my cousins, and then now they're in the abyss of, like, you know, family members' houses.
they probably retired off of it.
Yeah, maybe.
lucky bastards.
Yeah, pretty much any Super Nintendo RPG, especially if the box and manual, like they all are around 40 bucks or more. So, because there were so many good games that a lot of them are still in demand and they're still pretty playable. Or some of the old stuff, like the Nintendo RPGs, the NES RPGs, like, you know, you can't even get them to work in systems and the batteries are all dead, that kind of thing. So.
Oh, those batteries.
Battery pack.
Kind of kills it.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're kind of in agreement that this is a solid game, correct?
Solid game. This is good for Granny. This is good for little Timmy. this is good all around.
Yeah, it's probably a good intro RPG to anyone who has never played one, maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that as an insult.
If you're familiar with Mario, this is the next step. The next evolution. So. This is going beyond.
Deep story driven Mario.
I gotta tell you guys, when this game came out when I was a kid, it blowed my mind wide.
Yeah, this is like a dream come true.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, I like Mario, and hey, I love these deep story driven RPG games by Square. And when they made a game together, that was my Smash Brothers.
Oh,
it kind of is if Sheamus and Link are in it. It's like the original Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it was kind of the start of Nintendo really experimenting. I mean, they went much crazier once they hit N64 era, because obviously that's when Smash Bros came out.
Once they decided that the only developer they could trust was themselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, although Mario Kart came out before this one, so.
That's still only Mario characters.
Donkey Kong has Mario in it. Yeah, you're right.
He's the original Mario boss.
There is I'm trying to remember it now. I'll have to look it up. There is a TV trope all about that. How you know, most of the time Bowser is trying to kill Mario, but every once in a while Bowser takes a vacation. And he likes to go go-kart racing with Mario. or just play some beach volleyball with Mario. Play some golf. So
yeah, let's go. Let's go hit the links.
Yeah.
Enough of this fighting.
Kind of like that Bugs Bunny cartoon. But you know the Bugs Bunny. Well, it wasn't exactly Bugs Bunny cartoon.
When he fights Hitler.
Well, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. No, where it's the one where the sheepdog and the wolf are checking in for the day, and they're like, "Oh, Morton."
Oh, they're doing their punch cards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Mario and Bowser exist apparently. In perpetuity.
It's all an act. Mm-hmm. It's just a job.
Exactly.
Coop.
Well, this RPG does have a lot of other things to do, and it has a lot of little mini games in there, like the Melody Bay, where you jump on tadpoles to play a song. Mm-hmm. There's the swimming, where you're swimming up a waterfall or something. There's Yoshi Racing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That was definitely one of my favorites back in the day. I was sad we couldn't get to it this time. Or like me playing the game.
We all failed.
Yeah, the game doesn't have to end when the show ends, Tony. You can go right back to it.
I did not get to Yoshi Racing.
It's pretty deep into it. Three quarters of the way through the game round, thereabouts. There's also minecart racing stuff, both side-scrolling and 3D.
Oh. Would that be Moleville Mountain?
It sure is, sure enough.
Just a guess.
Oh, the TV trope, by the way, is go-karting with Bowser. So
they need to stick to TV. I'm tired of them crossing over.
Well, you know. I do like most of their video game tropes are actually pretty good, but so you know, good for them.
Yeah, so this game has a great soundtrack too. This is one of the first ones that I actually looked up online after playing it. It's like I got to keep listening to these jams.
Mm. While I found them good, I did get annoyed by the fight music after a while, just because I kept hearing it.
Oh, okay.
A lot.
You hear it repeatedly, yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a good jam.
Not saying it's bad. Just got kind of annoyed. Wish they mixed it up a bit.
A lot of battles.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a ton of battles in this one. Yeah. And you kind of have to, because you need to be leveled up pretty decently at times.
I did like that you could avoid them sometimes if you just walked around the dude. Like, it wasn't just like that random pop-up that a lot of RPGs had, where you just couldn't avoid it. Like, you'd have to run into someone to actually start a fight.
Yeah, that... You can't avoid
them. I appreciate it.
You can't avoid them, although it's sometimes... Some of the battles are all but... It's almost impossible to avoid them unless you've played the game before. Because enemies jump out at you from bushes. They'll, like...
That's true.
They try to ambush you, that kind of thing. The soundtrack on this game was done by Yoko Shimomura. Do you have a pronunciation on that, Todd?
Oh, I would have to read it. I call him Yoki.
Well, that's a problem because it's a lady. But
yeah,
sounds like her problem.
But she's
look, man. It's 2016, guys. Gender's meaningless.
She's got some really famous credits here, though. She did the sound for a little game called Street Fighter 2. She did all the music for that.
Oh, yeah.
Parasite Eve, too. I'm just looking at her Wikipedia.
Oh, don't get them started on Parasite Eve. These two sweet baby boys love talking about Parasite Eve.
Nothing better than... shooting a gun while you're wearing a dress.
Well, yeah. Plus, it's fun to play that game. Let's see. She also did Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy 15, which is a little game coming out this year.
Oh, a little indie joint coming out?
Yeah, a little indie joint.
It's only been in development 10 years or something.
Shovelware garbage.
And it looks like... most of the Paper Mario games as well, in the Mario and Luigi series, that kind of thing. So, yeah, she's kind of a big deal when it comes to music. So, good for her. Anyways. Well, let's just get into the history of the series just real quick here before we move on. Super Mario RPG was followed by a spiritual successor, the Paper Mario series, and then the Mario and Luigi series. While they've sold well, they haven't had the impact that the original had in terms of, you know, the original was kind of seen as one of those genre-defying games, genre, you know, new expansion for an old character, that kind of thing. Whereas the other ones are just kind of seen as, more of the same.
Yeah, those are more there. Of like, oh, it's just Mario doing a little bit of too much talking.
Did it already?
Yeah, I the only one I played like a little bit of Paper Mario back in the day, and I just remember thinking, oh, this is kind of dull. Like they kind of toned the story aspects way back, if I remember correctly. And you only have Mario, like you only play as him. So, Super Mario RPG was actually the last game Square released in America for a Nintendo console for 6 years until Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. They didn't release another console game for Nintendo for 7 years until Crystal Chronicles for the GameCube in 2003. And then they finally started porting most of Enix's games to the Wii in 2007. It was kind of an odd turn of events since Square was pretty much exclusive to Nintendo during the NES and Super Nintendo era. However, Square moved away from Nintendo once Nintendo made the decision to stick with cartridges, and they've kind of been loosely allied with Sony since then. Square will put out games for, you know, Sony and Xbox. Normally the Wii systems don't get as many ports, and Sony sometimes gets preferential treatment because they'll pay for exclusivity. So, you know, Square, or rather Square Enix, is still kind of joined at the hip with Sony. So,
aren't they not even isn't Enix just absorbed?
I think technically it was...
Sorry, I completely heard that wrong. I'm sorry.
Square Enix?
Ignore me.
Yeah, they like changed their name, right?
Yeah, sorry.
They changed it to both companies are in the name of the company now. Except I think it's mostly Square's management that is in control of the company now. And they don't function as independent units. And that's why it's been speculated that, like most of Enix's stuff and back catalog has not gone ahead except for like Dragon Quest games. And that's it. So, yeah, it's kind of it kind of got rid of a whole bunch of cool indie stuff from back in the day. So, anyways,
shame.
Yeah, poking around online, it didn't seem likely that there would ever be a direct sequel to Super Mario RPG. And also, Nintendo doesn't even use a lot of the IP from this game.
Well, what I read is that the Nintendo has Mario, but the like Geno and Mallow were all created by Square, so Square owns those.
Mm-hmm. True.
So unless they specifically combine their forces again, then they won't ever see each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those juggernaut characters. I mean, it's a shame mm-hmm. so that we have to miss them.
I don't know. It's weird because Nintendo normally is not shy about reusing crap from its past, like the like the ice climbers are suddenly in the Smash Brothers games. That has to be it. That they don't really own the stuff in the new series. Geno has only made cameos in games since then, and I don't even know about Mallow. So.
So was Square like a second party developer
for this
for Nintendo, like in general? So I'm trying to think: are there other games involved Mario that weren't developed by Nintendo directly?
Oh, the CDI games. If you've ever seen talk of them,
I know there was Zelda ones.
Yes,
was there Mario ones too?
Yes, there's at least one Mario game called Hotel Mario, and it is a steaming pile of crap.
That's why I probably never heard of it.
Yes. Well, the Angry Video Game Nerd has videos on the Zelda and Mario CDI games. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was a weird licensing thing when back in the day when Nintendo thought they were actually going to do a CD add-on. First they famously double-crossed Sony, which caused Sony to create the PlayStation and basically screw up Nintendo stuff for a decade or so. And then after that, I believe they did a partnership with Philips. And they dropped out of that too, and that eventually became the CDI. But not before, apparently they gave Philips permission to use Mario and Zelda in a couple games on the CDI. Mm-hmm. And they were all pretty bad. So they had weird cutscenes and CD parts, and yeah, you can find videos of them on YouTube, and it's pretty brutal. Like, they're barely games. So,
yep.
But also, they're pretty much they're the only thing worth owning on the CDI, which is a system so bad I don't even have it. So,
whoa, that's saying a lot.
Yeah. Good times. So I don't think Mallow has been in anything else that I can find. I don't know. I know it's sad to all of you, but
I think Bowser was in another game, but I can't.
I've
I can't
heard
place
of that
it.
Character before.
Yeah, I mean, when he showed up in this, it's like, oh, I think I know that guy.
Well, his street name is King Koopa.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, that's his. Bowser's just his government name.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Well, Todd, did you have any more thoughts about this one here?
Oh, one of my favorite, not really favorite, but it kind of was funny at the time, is one of the bosses is the Axum Rangers, which is a parody of the Power Rangers.
Really? I'd forgotten about them. I didn't get that far.
Axum?
Yeah. A-X-E-M. Axum Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so it's a nice little Easter egg for a young me. I mean, I wasn't into the Power Rangers. That was my younger brother's thing, but I liked the reference.
Yeah, and they also had like spoof quotes as you beat them and that kind of stuff, and they talked during combat. So that was fun.
Yeah,
like I broke my shades. Can this be happening to the Axum?
They're
Rangers?
The first. If you just type in Axum in Google, Axum Rangers is the first result. Probably because that word has never been used since.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Huel, any last thoughts here about Mario RPG?
I mean, it's a good enough RPG, but I mean, it's still no Quest 64.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that is certainly true.
The pinnacle.
There's
of no, Nintendo RPG gaming.
Yeah, there's no denying that Quest 64 is not Mario RPG.
No, that was not my statement.
I know what your statement was.
You know, of all the RPGs we've covered so far, Quest 64 is in the top three.
Yeah, it would be.
I think so.
It's up there with Mario RPG, Quest 64, and
Secret of Mana.
Secret of Mana.
Mana.
Secrets.
Tony, any final thoughts on Mario RPG?
I covered most of them. I mean, just have one of my most distinct memories was when I played this game first when I got chicken pox. So I was home for like a week from school. So I got to play
perfect.
This straight
You lucky
through.
Dog.
So that's why this, I, that's probably why it also holds like a special memory in my heart. Cause I was like sitting there, you know, miserable. And, you know, that was back before the chicken pox shot came out. That's my one doctor thing.
Those are the best memories.
And I just got to sit there playing video games all week. So
sitting there, drool coming out, open sores bleeding all over the place.
Yep, getting it all over the controller.
I'm pretty sure I beat this in a weekend back in the day. Although
that was because it was a rental for you, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a rental. But because it was a rental, now I'm like, could I have possibly done that, being this in 3 days? Like, this is like a 40-hour game, right?
Yeah, I definitely didn't realize that when I suggested it.
Yeah, so I feel like I did that, but I may have kept it for an extra day or two, or just brought it back to the store and rented it again and actually had it for like 6 days. Because I definitely never owned this, and I don't know. I don't think it's probably not feasible to beat it, you know, in 3 days without save states and frame advance that you get from the ZSNES. So,
yeah.
And I forgot to mention, while it's expensive to buy a cart of this, it's pretty much on all of Nintendo's virtual consoles at this point. And it wouldn't surprise me if they re-release it physically for, you know, the 3DS at some point, or whatever handheld they're going to do, or, you know, on the iPhone or something like that. Like, this seems like a game that they might re-release at some point.
Yeah, they've done a lot of those 3DS re-releases, so this, mm-hmm. this would probably be one. Oh, it is Square, so I'm surprised they can get it on virtual console.
I think I have it on the Wii, actually. Like, I think I bought it for the Wii. Like, on the virtual.
Yeah. I think Nintendo might own distribution rights for this or something like that.
It would seem.
Either that or they might just, they might just chip a couple bucks Square's way every time they sell a virtual copy. So.
Don't know.
I don't know, this and the other Dream Team collaboration from back in the day, the Chrono Trigger, mentioned by Todd frequently, both tend to be beloved, and both pretty much have zero chance of actually getting proper sequels in the future. So, that's somewhat disappointing.
Does Chrono Cross not count?
I don't really count it, but...
Yeah, alright. Understandable.
I mean, Chrono Cross is weird and depressing, and
yeah,
like, you half the time you spend you're trying to fight some goddamn like Tiger Lynx thing. it's a weird game. Also, there's like no time travel in it. It's like, oh, what was the most fun part of the Super Nintendo game? Time travel. Well, let's make sure we don't have any of it in this PlayStation game. Anyways, we should move along before I angrily derail us any further. Let's move on to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
Guys, you know what? I did.
Oh.
This email comes from someone claiming to be Huel's mom.
Oh boy.
And she writes, "Dearest Huel, I bought that house off Peach Street when I was pregnant with you. I was so proud of that house. It wasn't much, but it was mine. Built a porch swing and tended a little garden that was just right out front. I'd bake up a storm on that old stove, you know. The ones that you had to light with a long match. And one winter, Uncle Clyde came by and said he needed a place to stay. Just till he got on his feet, he said. Can't turn your back on family. And then, one day, I woke up in the middle of the night. Don't know what it was, I just woke up. I walked down the hall to look in on you. He came out of your room, and I knew what he had done. He was a big man, liked his liquor and his hooch. smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. He was always stinking up the house with cigarette smoke. All the time, he'd just fall asleep on the couch, lit cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And I'd go by, I'd put it out. And one night, not too long after, he fell asleep on the couch, drunk as a skunk, lit cigarette hanging out of his mouth. I got you and your brothers and sisters out of bed, and we went over to Aunt Mabel's to sleep. And that night, that house that I loved so much burnt to the ground, and your Uncle Clyde burnt right with it. Oh, I know how you've been torturing yourself about what went on there, baby. And maybe you did something real bad. I don't know. But I know if you did, you had your reason. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Even if all you got is a long match and a very flammable hooch. Sincerely, Mama Hauser. P.S. What's your favorite fire weapon in a video game?
Well, it's what it's. I'm glad she cleared the air on that. Something that's been nagging at me for a while.
Yeah, I mean, fire weapons are pretty cool, aren't they?
And fire weapons are cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need some time to process this. You might want to ask someone else.
Well, I have mine ready because I got this question ahead of time, so I did a little research.
Right.
I'm going to have to go with the vampire killer, the whip from Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of them, when you power it all the way up, it catches on fire. And it turns into a flame whip.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, Castlevania 2.
Yeah, Castlevania 2, that's when you power it up. Do a little jump in the air and fling your whip of fire.
Mm-hmm. I like I'm trying to it's a shooter for the PlayStation 3.
You lost me already.
That's not named Call of Duty.
No, I mean
first person?
No, I mean like
a shmup.
Yeah, it's a shmup. It was one of the free games when they had the PlayStation outage. It's like Super Galaxy.
Oh,
God. Give me a second. I'll try to look it up.
Oh boy.
Maybe Todd. Todd, you already shared your weapon, Huel or Tony. Do you have yours?
Do the little flamethrower guys in Red Alert count? Those were always.
Oh fun. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Good one. Good one, man.
They're always good. Or the fire bats in StarCraft.
Oh, yeah.
Similar. Yeah. Similar.
Yeah.
Smoke up them Zerglings.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So going along the Red Alert thing, I wasn't even thinking about that. But
yeah.
Was it Red Alert 2 where like the allied ones, the towers could combine and shoot like a plasma beam at something? Like not the Tesla coils. It was like another one. Am I thinking about a different game?
It's certainly not a flame weapon, if that's what you mean.
Oh, we're talking about flame weapons? I thought we were talking about firing weapons.
Not weapons that fire, but fire weapons.
All right. Well, I'll probably have to think on that.
How dare you disrespect my mother's question, first of all.
Turns out I tuned out in the middle of that question.
How was that possible? It was a gripping tale. How did you... Yeah, fire weapons.
The game,
is that right?
Yeah, weapons that involve the combustible explosions that create fires, and then you use
oxygen.
The fire.
You got fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You got heat.
I did finally look up the game I was thinking of, which is Super Stardust.
Ah,
you get like
sounds like a street drug.
Well, it is. Yeah, it's that too, but it's also a it's kind of a shmup. It's kind of it's described as the game combines the mechanics of asteroids with a level of action found typically in modern games such as Geometry Wars. I've never played Geometry Wars though, so I don't
yeah,
know how.
Sounds boring.
Yeah, you just pull out a protractor and do a lot of calculations.
Graph paper.
No, that game. It has like a fire beam that you can shoot out. It's actually kind of cool. You can whip it around the screen and it clears the screen, but it's if there are bigger objects on the screen, then you can't, like, you actually have to spend time on them and chip away at it, so it's not perfect. So, no, it's a fun game. You got it for the network outage in 2011, the PlayStation Network outage, along with, let's see, Wipeout, Little Big Planet, Infamous, and Dead Nation were your other choices.
So, I think I got Little Big Planet during that.
Yeah, I opted for Infamous and Super Stardust. Maybe I got Little Big Planet too, but I can't remember. So anyways, Huel, did you receive any emails?
I did receive an email.
Okay.
But it might not be from who you think.
Oh?
So this writer writes, "Dear Your Parents' Basement, what's your favorite game starring me? Signed, Marky Mark."
Oh,
is that the real Marky Mark?
I guess. I mean,
is there another Marky Mark?
Is there it's an unmistakable signature.
Yeah. Now, Tony, I don't know if you heard last week, and for anyone else who didn't listen to the show on the Horde, some of us were surprised that Marky Mark does have his own video game for the Sega CD.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
He sounds so excited.
No, this is not a bit. This is not a joke. It's not.
We don't do those.
Yeah, it's not our favorite fake game, which is Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge. It's
been a while since that came up.
Well, I still am hoping for Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge.
But, we gotta keep putting it out in the ether, man.
We gotta Kickstarter it. We really gotta stop.
Get that going?
Yeah, yeah. Just Kickstarter it and then never deliver like most Kickstarters.
No.
But no, there was a series called Make My Video where you could kind of piece together music video clips for Sega CD. And NXS, Crisscross, and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch each had their own games. So.
Is that your choice? Make My Video starring Marky Mark?
Well, unless Google tells me something different, I think that might be my only choice.
You know what? I'm going to go with Boogie Nights, the video game.
Oh, that was a good one.
Huh.
That was a fighting game, right?
Yeah. And he has his own unique weapon.
Oh?
Is that so?
I'm a star, I'm a star, I'm a star.
I mean, they're... Yeah, it's a giant star. Giant throbbing star.
Steven.
I mean, there is one other choice, but it's kind of cheating, and that is Max Payne.
Yeah, I didn't know if that counted.
I mean,
was there a movie version released?
Yeah, there was.
Oh.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he was Mr. Maxwell Payne in this movie.
Yes, he was.
And according to Rotten Tomatoes, oh, you want to play the Rotten Tomatoes game? Like,
oh, good idea.
What do you guys think it got?
I'm gonna go with 20%.
Okay.
Oh, are we talking critics? Or are we talking
the score?
Viewers?
The normal score.
All right. I'll go. With, oh, you know what? 22%.
Okay.
Tony, do you have a guess with what Max Payne got from critics at Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, critics? 14.
Oh,
we are not giving a lot of credit here.
The answer is 16% from critics.
Oh, Tony sneaks in.
Got him.
And audience score, though, is much, much bigger. It's almost double that, 29%.
Ooh.
Which is
audience went the, wild for Max Payne.
It's a movie I'm gonna have to look up and watch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's bad times because some of these movies, you know, they'll have low critic scores, but at least, you know, 70% of the audience will like it because they kind of knew what they were getting into.
Right.
Not for this one. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I think we answered that ask about Mark Wahlberg,
yeah,
Vidya Games. So, Tony, did you receive any emails?
Unsurprisingly, I don't think I received any emails from anybody. I'll have to pass on this one. I'm sorry.
That's disappointing. Well, if anyone wants to send Tony an email, just send it to our email box. And we will send them to him, and then he can give you the answer to that question. parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. I received one email this week. Hey guys, thanks for covering my game this week. That 50 cent. Oh, wait, it was last week. Oh. Hey guys, thanks for covering my game last week. That 50 cent residual really helped me out on a lean week. And that Todd Brisket, I don't say this often, but that kid has chops. He should host. What's the most you've ever spent on a video game? Sincerely, Kirk Chauncey Cameron.
Oh, boy.
So the ask was, what's the most you've ever spent on a video game?
Well, top of my head, there's only one I can think of, and that was Final Fantasy VI for the Super Nintendo, which was $70, brand new.
Oh,
yeah. Shelf. Toys R Us.
That's in 90s money.
That's $70 in 90s dollars.
Yeah, that's worth $3.2 million now.
The economy was booming under the steely gaze of Bill Clinton. Yeah, I'd have to go with $59.99. I don't think I've ever had any
special editions
or yeah. I avoid those at all costs. Or like no like rare eBay buys or anything like that. I just buy normal games.
Tony, how about you? What was your
Does this include periphery stuff that comes
with
the game?
Oh, you know what? I bought Rock Band.
Oh, Rock Band, yeah.
Like how much is Rock? That must have been more than $60.
Rock Band is like, definitely mine. If
it's like 80 or 100. Yeah.
No, it's more than 100.
Sorry, I'm a liar. I'm a dirty liar.
If you're including the periphery,
yes.
then yeah, it would be Rock Band.
Kind of have to. Sorry, I cut you off, Tony.
No, that's all right.
That was your answer.
Yeah, well, Rock Band was definitely my answer if we include periphery things. I got very into rhythm games, so I built my own drum set for that game.
You built your own?
Yeah. You can
like using the pads and like you built your own stand or?
So the pads didn't have as much like bounce back as I wanted.
Right. I agree.
So there was a site where you could get some like mesh padding, and then you could like kind of connect it towards everything, and you had to rewire, you know, the drums.
You had to, like, Got the insides.
Yeah, so that was a lot. And then the kick pad always broke. So yeah. I got, you know, like a nicer metal one or whatever.
That's amazing.
I have spent a lot on guitars in that game. And then Rock Band 3 came out. And there was, that was the game that I think included the electric guitar. It was like pro guitar mode. So I bought an electric guitar. So it has all six strings, and it has like 100, you know, 8 frets or whatever on the string.
Oh, I remember that.
On the game. It has so like I bought buttons, that, and that was like $250,
$300. Wow.
So definitely, and then, you know, excluding all the DLC songs and everything, that's probably like $600, $700 on the game alone.
Wow.
Wow.
Plus the songs that you have to buy, so.
True.
Definitely got up there.
Yeah, I just bought the box with all the stuff in it.
Yeah.
You definitely you win that round. Although including DLC, that's an interesting one.
If you include DLCs, then mine would be the old World of Warcraft.
Oh, true. That had like 15 expansions.
See, mine.
Yeah, I'd have. If DLCs are included, probably Fallout 3 for me, not 4.
Oh. See, my answers are boring because if you include DLC, then it would be Fallout 4. Just because it was $50 new, right?
About that.
60.
Yeah.
No,
50 or 60.
Oh, actually mine came as my I can't even really count it because it came as my pack-in game for my PlayStation 4.
Oh, really?
Well, it was a deal where I got the Uncharted bundle, and then you could pick one more game. And it was kind of free, but it was like that bundle was, you know, it was only like $25 more than, you know, just like the Call of Duty bundle or something. So it was, right. It was slightly more. But yeah, including the season pass, like I'm sure Fallout 4 is kind of technically probably the answer for me. But before that, it was Final Fantasy XII Collector's Edition, which is $70, I think it was.
It's not even that crazy.
No, not really.
Yeah, not bad for a collector's item. And now that's tripled in price by now.
For sure.
It probably has not. The only I think the only different thing about the game is I think the manual is thicker, and it also comes in like
girthier, as they say in the industry.
Oh, and that's not the end. It is definitely girthier because the case is like metal.
So, oh, I do have that. Yeah, I totally remember what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
The thing is, the only reason I bought it was because I think the original, like the plain copy, was like $60. So it was like, well, all right, I'll spend $10 more. Like this won't, you know, doesn't really make a difference. So yeah,
I think Donkey Kong 64 came with that like RAM expansion pack. Mm-hmm. If you remember that thing,
yeah.
So I think that made it a little more expensive, but that doesn't count because I didn't actually buy it.
Did you steal it?
It was a birthday gift.
Oh, how nice.
For a sweet baby boy.
Well, I think that concludes the email portion of the show. Todd, did we need to help any people this week?
You know what? We're going a little long.
Doing this dance again?
Yeah. Send your asks.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Asks.
Yes.
Unless Steve really wants an ask.
Don't tease it. Don't even give him the option.
Okay.
No. Listen, after seeing the debate this past weekend, I am convinced that America, we've got it pretty all much settled. So let's I think that's
we're in a good place. We're in a good place.
Yeah, that's a good
news. Yeah, why rock the boat?
Yeah. Let's so I think it's time to end the show. Todd, did you have anything you wanted to say as we signed off here?
Sure. I want to be a great plumber like my brother Mario.
Okay.
Huel, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Just a little life advice. Just know that some items can't be bought at regular stores, so spend your frog coins wisely.
Oh, yes, we didn't even get into the this game has... Yeah, this game has gold
multiple currency.
Yep, and also frog coins. Oh, and also if you want 100% complete in this game, you have to collect 136 of the goddamn things. Tony, thanks so much for guesting on the show. Do you have any projects you'd like to plug? Are you appearing at the Laugh Factory or Yuck Yucks?
No, apparently I don't have good reviews, but of my stand-up. No, actually, well, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a good time. And I'll work on save-stating those 100 jumps and let you know how that goes at a later time.
Perfect. Yes, just to get that accessory that you don't really need to beat the game anyway. So.
Nope.
He'll be live-streaming it on Twitch. That's what he's plugging.
Oh.
That's his plug.
Yeah. Oh, nice. All right, and on that note, here is the snifferoo from next week's game. Thank you.
Thank you.